Well, we've been in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and let me just read you again verses 16 through 18. Be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, over the last couple of weeks, we looked at be joyful always and recognized that this is a command. This is not an option. We don't get to be joyful only when things are going well and then get to have our little tizzy fits and tantrums when things aren't going well. We need to be joyful always. And we found that praying continually is a state of just dependence on God for everything. And so we want to finish up with pray continually and give thanks in all circumstances. In pray continually, the last thing that we talked about was how prayer can keep us from sin. And if you remember, the last thing we looked at was in Mark chapter 14, where Jesus comes back to the disciples and says, can't you even stay awake for an hour? Watch and pray, he said, so that you might not fall into temptation. So the very last thing we talked about was that prayer keeps us from temptation. And I just wanted to follow up with that. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, and chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. So 1 Peter 4, verse 7, the Apostle Peter says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. It's an interesting thing there. If we are not... In another translation, instead of clear-minded, would say sober, of sober judgment. If we are not clear-minded, if we are not self-controlled, that'll hinder our prayer life. So we already said that Jesus said, stay awake, watch, and pray so that you may not fall into temptation. Well, part of being able to pray is to be able to stop being controlled by our circumstances and our emotions going with them, but being clear-minded and self-controlled in those things so that we can pray and see our way out of that temptation. I think the hardest thing when everything seems to be going wrong in our lives, the hardest thing is to step back and be sober in our judgment of the things instead of being all wrapped up in it. No, I'll never forget ministering to this family that was coming to the church, and somebody who was extended member of the family called Kristen and started giving her all dirt on this family. And Kristen calls me and she's in an uproar about it. And I said, you know what? Hang on. Let's get to the bottom of this before we start to make a decision on this. Let's, you know, think about this clearly instead of being wrapped up. I know everything that this person has just said just makes us want to go in an uproar. How do we know that this person's even true? You know, how do we know that they're not lying through their teeth? There was nothing in that person's character to say that everything they were going to tell us was going to be true. And it turned out to be the wise thing. We found out that the person who was supposedly dishing all this inside information was themselves part of the problem. I just thought, you know, that was just an example to me. And I was thankful that that was one of those times that I was clear-minded, because it's so easy to get caught up in the emotion of things. But we needed to pray through it. We need to find out. So be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. And then in chapter 5 of 1 Peter, he says a similar thing. Now, let's back up to verse 6 of chapter 5. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast your anxieties upon him because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. So, in prayer, we need to be clear-minded and self-controlled so that we can pray, and we need to be humble under God's mighty hand, constantly turning our anxieties over to Him. Instead of being wrapped up in them, turning our anxieties over to Him, being alert in prayer, and recognizing that Satan is looking to destroy us at all times. If we allow ourselves to get overwhelmed by the emotional parts of our circumstances, then Satan will have a field day with us. Tear us to shreds. You know, you have the picture here of this enemy prowling around trying to destroy you. If you lose your wits, that enemy is going to destroy you easily. What's the one thing you have to do? I don't know. I've never been chased by a lion, but I would imagine the one thing you have to do when you have an enemy prowling is to not lose your cool, but to keep focused. And in this case, what are we keeping focused on? Christ, turning our anxieties over to Him in prayer. And as the Scripture told us, pray continuously. Constantly vigilant, constantly aware, watching, staying in prayer, because the devil's out to destroy us. Lack of prayer, we miss that there's this spiritual battle going on. When we are not in prayer, we're not vigilant, we're not constantly aware of Satan's schemes out to get us, we tend to fall into this comfortable mode, and then when everything goes south on us, when everything hits the fan, we're not prepared, we're not ready. So prayer is our communication with our commander in this battle. We've talked about that before. So be joyful always, pray continuously, and then the Scripture in 1 Thessalonians tells us, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. It's God's will for us in Christ Jesus to do these things, to be able to give thanks to God in every situation. I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I love praying with Steve. Because the first few minutes of Steve's prayer is just thanking God. Have you ever noticed that? Steve. I remember when I was in Nashville for all those years, I had this group of men that I prayed with every week, Bill Garner and some other guys, Hugh Morris, and each person has their own way of approaching God. Have you ever noticed that? We tend to approach God in a certain way. And to this day, I can remember those guys and how they would approach God. Hugh would always say, we come to your throne of grace and mercy. You know, and that was the picture. And I always could see myself coming before God and His throne room whenever Hugh would start us off in prayer. And Steve, I can always picture thanks. I mean, what a thankful heart he has. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Over and over, he shares thanks that he gives to God. And that's what the Scripture tells us to do. To rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in every circumstance. And I love seeing that. Because the truth of the matter is, why are we told that we have to do this? Why should we be told to give thanks?
We don't do it on our own.
We don't.
We
shouldn't have to be told. It should just be an easy thing. But the truth of it is, our sinful nature doesn't want to give thanks. How many children do you have to, when you raise your kids, you ever had a kid that you just never had to tell, say thank you? No, the truth is, every child, gimme, oh, thank, gone, right? Hey, you get back there, did you thank them for that? And then you're totally embarrassed. You're like, man, I'm sorry for my kid here, you know, they're just, we have to be told to give thanks. No, he healed 10.
Yeah.
Two come back.
One came back.
Yeah, in another, there was one instance, I believe he healed 10 and two came, and then there was another instance where just one came and there were four or five, I thought.
Yeah, but there was the issue.
But he says, where are the rest? Yeah, what's up with that? Only one.
One came back.
So we have to be reminded to give thanks, because what happens is We pray and pray and pray for something. And this is just a remarkable thing. We pray for something to occur, and then when it occurs, we take credit for it. You know, how many times did that happen where you just think, oh, well, that was really smart of me to do that. And then only later we realize, oh, yeah, I'd been praying for God to do something here. I just took credit for it. You know, we got to stop and be reminded. No, give thanks. Thanks for the fact that God did it. I tell you what, I have had to learn to give thanks for things that I thought I did myself, because I ain't that smart. You know, I have to stop and go, boy, I sure didn't seem to have an answer to that problem. And all of a sudden, the answer pops in my mind. Where'd that come from? One from me. Got to stop and give him thanks for that. Thank you, Lord, for solving this problem for me. Don't ever let me think it was myself. Give thanks in all circumstances. Now, what are the benefits of being thankful in prayer? Well, go to 1 Timothy with me. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 to begin with. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. First reason why we need to be reminded to give thanks and learn about the benefits of thankful prayer is to remind us, first of all, that God is the one who's providing for us. In 1 Timothy 4, verses 4 and 5, for everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. We need to recognize that God gives us good things, that he provides for us in ways that maybe we don't recognize at first. We need to stop and give him thanks. And that's what's so wonderful about Thanksgiving, is the one time... Has it struck you that Thanksgiving is the one holiday that the most ungrateful people actually have to stop and recognize that they have things to be thankful for? I mean, it amazes me. It doesn't surprise me at all that as a country, we've gone from Halloween to Christmas and tried to skip Thanksgiving. That's no surprise. But that's no surprise, is it? I mean, we're a very ungrateful country. Just look at all these Occupy Wall Street kids. I mean, have you seen more ungrateful people in your life? Well, all types. All types. It amazes me when I listen to them, when they finally get a microphone in their face and they can share exactly what they're upset about. Some of them have real concerns, things that upset me too. But a lot of them are, you need to pay our student loans off.
Yeah, it had nothing
like, what?
To do with Wall Street.
Right. It's incredible. Yeah, the ones in this city amaze me the most because they get some lady on the TV and they said the governor owed them to bring out porta potties for them. Yeah. Oh yeah. And when the porta potties weren't cleaned right away, she raised a fit until they got people to come clean their porta potties, and she said that was their right. I'm like, can you believe a more ungrateful society? Yeah. I mean, ungrateful. And to me, I look at that and I think, you don't even recognize all that this country provides for you. Maybe you need to go spend some time in another country for a while. Go on one of these mission trips. There is no greater way in my mind to be grateful for our country than to go on a mission trip. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you come back, you're thankful for what you have. And you know what? Northern Korea, they're still in that situation 50, 60 years later. Yep. Yep. Charles? Yeah, yeah. Did you hear that too? This is totally getting off topic. In the Occupy Wall Street now, they've segregated themselves by classes. It's insane. But the bottom line is they're just, you know, Newt Gingrich said, this cracked me up. He said, what I want to tell them, how did he put this? What I want to tell them is they need to go stop protesting, take a shower, and go find a job. After they take a shower. But we have this where we think that we deserve anything we have. And all of us do it. And we do that to God. You know, I can't, what, we get upset with God when things go bad. Why? Because we think that God owes us something. He owes us the sweet life. Right? Mm-hmm.
They look what they complained about, and all. Just our Sunday school lesson today was talking about Moses when they came to him and didn't have water at the rabble the second time around.
Yeah.
And how they were complaining and all and looking back what I used to have way back 40 years ago.
Oh, that just kills me.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, why'd you take us out of Egypt? We ate out of pots of meat.
I get mad at them in the Bible. I'm like, I
did. That's right. We so quickly forget. So we need to be reminded to be thankful. Give thanks in all circumstances because you're ungrateful. Don't be like the Israelites. Don't be ungrateful. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'm glad you brought up the Israelites because that's where I was going. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Yeah, they had occupied the Sinai Desert. OSD. We're going to be in chapter 8, Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're going to look at verse 1, and then we're going to jump to verse 10. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. So they're going to go into the promised land now. And Moses cautions them, remember to follow the Lord's commands. Why? Because he is the reason you are getting to go into this wonderful land. And then he says in verse 10, when you have eaten are satisfied. He's talking about when you go into the land and you find it's all given to you. Because they were going to take over houses that weren't theirs and flocks that weren't theirs and wells. They wouldn't have to dig their own wells. Everything's given to them by the Lord through their conquest of the land. So when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good he has given you. Verse 11, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. So, have to be reminded. Why should they have to be reminded? It should be a no-brainer. God provided for them. In fact, it goes on and says, when you were in the desert, your clothes never wore out.
And you got fed.
And you got fed manna and quail. Water was provided for you. And I love that. Your clothes never wore out and your shoes never wore out. 40 years in the desert, same pair of sandals. Yeah, they wanted, that's right. This person said they would have gotten tired of manna. And the truth is, so did the Israelites, didn't they?
Yeah.
Cried out against God's provision. They needed to learn to be thankful for what the Lord had given them. Why else should we give thanks in all circumstances? Well, not only to remember that God is our provider, but also because it brings glory to God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Giving thanks for the Lord's provision brings glory to him. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 10. Now he who supplied seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Why should we remember to give thanks to the Lord in every circumstance? Because others see that and are brought to praise and learn to praise God because of it. God is glorified because of the thankfulness that we have in our hearts. It's been interesting to me to see this whole business with Tim Tebow.
I was thinking that.
Isn't it? Because he's so thankful, right? I didn't hear the interview. I heard parts of it.
Fantastic, because you know, there's some of those guys always kind of have to be a little bit skeptical, you would say it, and they question him kind of crazy. But he is so good at answering those questions.
It's really neat. He has gotten. So there were plenty of people who said he couldn't make it in the NFL, and who knew? You know, you just go, well, I don't know. He's not the typical style quarterback for the NFL. And so last year was his rookie season. He barely saw the field. But when he saw the field, at the end of the season, they won. And people said, no, it ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. That was just because of the end of the season. So this season, going into it, he's down third on the depth chart. Got two guys in front of him. Well, the guy starting is 5-14 in... Yeah, they were 1-4 when they started the season. And so they finally pulled that guy, and the other guy was hurt, so they said, okay, we'll give it to Tebow. And Tebow went in, played horrible. Just absolutely the worst game in the world, except like the last 5 minutes of the game, and won the game at Miami. So then it's been crazy on the internet and on the sports radio. You have people calling in and going, Tebow is great. And other people, no, he stinks. He's horrible. I can't think of a worse quarterback. He was lucky. Following week, he gets destroyed by the Detroit Lions. And so they say, see. Well, what happened was the coach changed the whole way the offense plays now and put in more of a college style offense for Tim Tebow to run. And he's won the last three games.
Well, he's 5-1.
4-1.
4-1. 5-5 is what they are.
Yeah, overall, the team is now 5-5 in second place in their division and looking at a run at the playoffs. And yet the people who hate him can't stand it that he's winning. And it's the funniest thing to see. They're just imploding. They just cannot deal with the fact that he's winning. Oh, he's the worst looking. They set football back 30 years, all this kind of stuff. And yet I've read some people who didn't like him before have started to say, I just read a column earlier today where a guy said, all right, I'm a Tebower.
Yeah.
He said, I don't know why I couldn't like this guy.
Look at what his teammates are doing, though. They bought in.
They bought in. Champ Bailey is going to bat for this guy. And what gets me is Tebow is always thankful. Mm-hmm. Always thankful. He says at the end of the game, he says, you know, my offensive line, this, he's given everybody else credit. He gives credit to the Lord right off the bat and tries to take attention off himself. And I'm seeing this play out in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, where this expression of thanks is bringing glory to God because others are finally, It's funny. They're saying things like, maybe there really is something to his faith. They're not willing to believe in Christ, but for the first time I can remember, the last time I can remember a discussion on the talk radio about faith, serious discussion that wasn't just making fun of it, was when Jay Barker in Alabama years ago gave praise to God, and I lived in Alabama at the time, and it was just unbelievable on the radio how people responded. But people are now on the radio going, Deion Sanders was talking about Tebow's faith. Michael Irvin was talking about Tebow's faith as being part of who he is and how it, that's why he's winning.
Well, they're all Christians too, though, now.
They say they are. Deion Sanders and Michael Irvin, I don't know if I would go to... I mean, yeah, they do. You're right, you're right. They claim to be. And
you know what's the great
about, I'm not going to stake my own Christianity on them.
Tebow has stated so much about it. He is so thankful that he has this platform.
Yeah.
To be able to stand up for his God.
It's so neat.
And of course, one of the things he's doing is all these T-shirts that they're selling and all that kind of stuff out there. That money is going to a hospital in the Philippines.
He's building a He even says he doesn't get as jacked up by football as he does about building this hospital in the Philippines for these orphans. Yeah. His parents were missionaries down there. So I don't. Was he born there or just raised there? I don't remember.
Well, he spent most of his life there.
Yeah, yeah. So, this thanksgiving to God brings praise to God. Others see that and can't do anything but eventually praise God themselves. It also, thanksgiving to God, proves that we're filled with the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We struggle with whether we're saved or not. We struggle with whether we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. See if it shows up in thanksgiving to God in all circumstances. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's evidently, the Apostle Paul says, that's one of the signs of being filled with the Spirit. Not whether you can speak in tongues, not whether you can swoon. You know, some of those church gatherings where they say what being filled in the Spirit is like, they're scary. If you go on YouTube and watch some of these church services, slain in the Spirit, barking like a dog. I've seen it. Where they had this one revival service where the woman was up there getting people to bark like dogs because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, and you'd go, what? That was when I was here, yeah. I remember a couple times, huh?
No, they had one with the
land. Okay. Well, we had one here, too, that was... And Kristen walked up to her and said, please sit down. She started wandering, you know. She said, oh, I'm filled in the Spirit. And Kristen said, no, you're not. You're filled with Satan trying to ruin the service that right now God is speaking through Mark. Dad told her, sit her rear end down. It was out there. I said, really? You said that? Oh, yeah. Trying to destroy what God was doing at that moment? Uh-uh. Really? Came up to the front. Ooh. Wow. Well, the Apostle Paul evidently doesn't point to those types of things as being filled with the Spirit. He says, be filled with the Spirit, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks. Thanksgiving is a sign of the Spirit's influence in our life. What else does giving thanks do? What is the other... another benefit of thankful prayer? Well, in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. Verse 6. But in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Rejoicing in the Lord, giving thanks in all circumstances, what will it do? It will guard your heart and mind with God's peace. You cannot stay anxious. You cannot stay worried and give thanks to God at the same time. You can't. When I talk to people and they say, oh, I'm praying all the time, and I say, no, you're worrying for God all the time. Because true prayer is that you're giving it to God, and the peace of God, which no one can understand because it passes all understanding, guards your heart and mind in Christ Jesus, and you're able to say, the Lord is taking care of it. That's when we get to the point that we're truly praying continuously, rejoicing always, and giving thanks in every circumstance. That's what takes over. The Spirit of God lets us know that we are taken care of. I know not. How does that go? I am persuaded that He is able to keep that what I've committed unto Him against that day. Okay? I know not about all these things. Yeah, a hymn I'm trying to remember. I know not about all these things, but I know that I've committed these things to the Lord, and He's able to take care of them. And so that peace takes care of me. And then also it reminds us that Christ is the one who qualifies us to be God's children. Nothing in us. Look at Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verse 10 through 12. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Giving thanks and recognizing in that thanks that Christ is the one who died for us so that we can share in that inheritance. Giving thanks in all circumstances, for that is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, reminds me of Christ's sacrifice and how He has taken care of all these things, and my righteousness is in Him. So giving thanks benefits me in that it reminds me that God is my provider. It brings glory to God. It proves that I am filled with the Holy Spirit, combats anxiety, invites peace, and reminds me that Christ alone is the one who has taken care of my sin problem. And I can rest in that. And then finally, it recognizes that God is our source of strength. Go to 1 Timothy again. 1, Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that He considered me faithful, appointing me to His service. I thank Him, and in thanking Him, I recognize that He's the one that gives me everything I need, and He's the one that supplies me with strength. He's the one that gave me salvation. He's the one that paid the price for my sin. He's the one that strengthens me for the service that he gave to me. I thank him for that. I thank him for his salvation. I thank him for his strength. I thank him for the hope that I have in him. And so I can say, like the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. He is my strength. Whatever I have in strength is from him. And I know that I can be crucified for his sake, and his strength will be shown for what it is. So, I rejoice always, knowing that God has taken care of all my needs, and knowing that there's no circumstance that I can't rejoice in the salvation and the joy that God gives. I pray continually because I'm dependent on him. I can't do anything else but to depend on him. And by my prayer, it shows my dependence on him, and he's glorified, and then I give thanks in every circumstance. But that's his will for me, because it reminds me of so many things and shows others the glory of God working through me. I love when I do this and I see, wow, look at that. I just left it for God. I gave him thanks in it. And now others can see his glory because of it. You know, one way to always understand Scripture is to think about what the opposite would be. And then you can really see. Because if you read, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks to God in all circumstances, you say, oh, that's too much. You know, he's being unreasonable. Okay, well, think of the opposite. Okay? Be miserable all the time. Okay? Don't turn to God in anything and complain bitterly about everything that he's given to you. Those are the two extremes, right? Which one seems more natural for a believer and more natural for the unbeliever? It's easy for an unbeliever to do what I just said, the last one. It's hard to imagine them being able to give thanks, right? But the heart that is Christ, you can see by the power of the Holy Spirit, those are the things that we should be able to do. Rejoice, pray, and give thanks. Lord, we come to you and give thanks. We rejoice in your salvation. We rejoice in the newness of life that you give, that you have come to give life and that to the full. Lord Jesus, we rejoice in you, your peace and your joy. We give thanks to you and pray that we would be in remembrance of all you've done all the time. In Christ we pray this. Amen.